the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Turn our attention to the women's final, which is on this weekend as well. I'm delighted to say Louise Galvin is here with us. Louise, is the debate raging about splitting the Dublin women's team as much as it is about splitting the men's team?
I don't think so. I know they're going for three in a row, but they're coming up against Cork, who they well know had a period of dominance over them. They lost three finals before then. So maybe if we start to look at it in another few years. But at the moment, I don't think that debate is there as much for the Dublin ladies, although they are obviously a very impressive squad.
What is the gap between them and everybody else? Is this legitimately a really realistic opportunity for Cork to knock them off this weekend?
Yeah, it's funny. Dublin are coming in as favourites. They're obviously going for their four in a row. But there's plenty of opportunity for Cork this weekend. And I think sometimes when you're analysing a game, that's what you're looking for, is opportunity for the underdog. And I think there's plenty of that there for Cork. Just a few little things, like even the semi-final, obviously there's a lot of drama with the Cork Galway game being moved to Croke Park. But they have a nice blend of youth and experience. If those young players who now have played in Croke Park, will be a massive advantage for them coming into this game. You know, they won't have the same kind of nerves and jitters and walking into the pitch, which is obviously quite a large pitch compared to a lot of the other ones around the country. Another aspect that might help them, I think, is the fact that it's pretty much behind closed doors. Obviously, the ladies' final have had growing attendances over the years. We've had over 50k there, but a lot of the time over the last few years, they've been a majority of Dublin fans. And obviously, it's on their back door. It's a little bit of an advantage as well. So I think the fact that there'll be no supporters in will actually suit Cork more, and particularly the fact that they have maybe a good few players there that haven't played in as many finals as the Dublin girls. I think Cork have a sense of unfinished business. I mean, okay, last year they weren't in the final the year before, losing semi-final stage to Dublin. The year before that, the final. We're talking about 5 or 6 points in it, but at the same time, in ladies football, that isn't a lot because goals can mean a fair bit. And even the fact that yellow cards are sin bins, like, remember that the last time they played in semi-final, Ciara Sullivan suffered a dubious enough sin bin at a critical time in the second half. So they'll certainly feel like they're not that far away from the Dubs.
Dearan O'Sullivan was saying this week that they panicked when Dublin landed big scores in the 2018 game and last year's game. Have you seen enough from them this year to suggest that they've matured a little bit to not panic if Dublin come at them with a big score late in the game?
Yeah, well, I suppose, Owen, it's hard to see enough of anyone because the league was so long ago and everyone's just coming in with three games. But I think even if you compare their form, Cork probably started a bit slow against Kerry in the first half and then used their experience to see that game out. Then they hit the ground running against Cavan, netted seven times and had a very, very dominant performance against Galway as well in the semi-final. Whereas Dublin have been a little bit more inconsistent in their performances. They had a bit of a dubious goal between them in the end against Donegal, a Sinead O'Hearn goal. Played well in patches against Waterford and then Armagh certainly put it up to them. At times where in that game you would have seen Dublin maybe last year, the year before, really pull away, Armagh were able to come back into it. Now, Armagh are obviously a very skillful football team, but I just wonder with the Dubs, if they haven't seemed to have put the same level of consistency together in their games, and yet they're still winning, which is obviously a good sign. So again, I think that's a positive for Cork coming into it, that they seem to be building nicely up towards the final, whereas the Dubs are a little bit in fits and starts. I also wonder if the Dubs know what their best team is, because we've seen the semi-final, they didn't start Niamh McAvoy, who would have been a guaranteed starter the last few years, a very good footballer. They have Nicole Owens and Siobhan Killeen coming back from crucial injuries. So are they going to stake a claim? I know Nicole Owens started the semi-final. And another huge, huge question mark is over Sinead O'Hearn, their captain. She pulled up a hamstring injury in the first half of that semi-final. We're talking about, 3 weeks. Is it enough for your free taker to recover from a hamstring injury? Obviously, they have a lot of firepower. They have a lot of depth in their squad. But the leadership she brings, particularly to that forward line, she's quite a quiet individual off the field, but she's a massive leader for them. So if she isn't able to play, or if she starts and isn't able to perform, because, as a physio, if you don't have a fully functioning hamstring, it's not something you can get by on. That'll be a huge loss to them as well from a leadership point of view. And it'll be a boost for Cork if they see her either hobbling off or not togging out at all. So I'm not sure you'd bring her on. I think you'd have to start her and see how she goes, rather than risk wasting what would be two substitutes to bring her on and take her off again if she's not up to it. physically, obviously.
That Armagh team are obviously amazingly skillful, as you mentioned. There's some brilliant individual talent, but did they show the playbook at all that Cork could implement this weekend in terms of how you might actually get at Dublin tactically, I guess, rather than just individually?
Yeah, look, geez, Armagh, that was a brilliant game. Really, that was probably one of the most enjoyable football games of the year for me, along with the Munster and Ulster men's football finals. I think they have some brilliant individuals. Obviously, we saw, I mean, that goal that Amy Macken scored, particularly near the end. I'm not sure there's footballer in the country at the moment that could score that. But what Cork have is probably a bit more of a spread. And they have a really physical, insightful forward line. So tactically, I think they have a lot of pace throughout the field. So if they can break the line and get those runners off the shoulder and get in behind the Dubs, particularly if they can turn them over around that middle third and attack quickly before Dublin have a chance to get back and set up their defensive system, they certainly have the inside forwards to put them under pressure. They mightn't have that one standout marquee forward at Amy Macken, but they might have a bit more actual strength and depth across the forward line. We see Saoirse Noonan's a serious go-getter. Dearon O'Sullivan would have had been plagued by a few injury issues in the past, but she seems to be in a good place physically, so that'll be a boost to them. And Anya Terry Sullivan as well. They're big, strong, physical girls, and they'll certainly have a height advantage over their Dublin full back line that they're coming up against. So Dublin will want their numbers back. So if Cork can overturn them, particularly around that middle third, which isn't an easy thing to do, and break quickly, particularly with the likes of Melissa Duggan coming off the shoulder from that half-back line, and get ball in early, I think they'll have a slight height and physical advantage over the Dublin full-back line. That might be one way where they can upset them.
Yeah, I think Hannah Looney was saying it's like a blur playing against this Dublin team. Like, we started this conversation by talking about if Dublin are going to pull away from the pack. Is there a case to be made that like Cork, with their experience over the last 20 years or so and knowing how to be uber successful, that it could be a two-county thing that pulls away from the rest? Like, just reading about their relationship over the last couple of months, like, they played a challenge game a couple of months back, and after that challenge game, Mick Bohan turns to Evie Fitzgerald and points to the players and says, "That's success right there. Look at those two groups." That there is this mutual respect there. And I just wonder if the two of them, I guess, collectively are just going to pull away from the rest over the next few years.
Yeah, look, there is that fear. I suppose one thing that might point a little bit against that is that, you know, you've had different All-Ireland finalists with Dublin for the last few years. And even the emergence of a team like Armagh as well this year has been, I suppose, a positive thing for the Ladies' Championship. I mean, if Cork do go on to win, I know down here in Kerry, we did not have a bad performance against them in Tralee. I know we had the luxury of having a game under the belt, but we wouldn't feel that as a county we're that far away from Cork either. So I think what Cork and Dublin have at the moment is they have a nice blend of experience and youth, but also in their two management. Like, listening to both of them this week, like, they both talk very much about kind of the holistic sense of looking after the players. It's not all about winning, it's not all about how the players perform on the field. Now, I know I'm part of plenty of teams, and sometimes management put out not exactly what they're saying inside the dressing room, but very much you get the sense that they're not like they're like second fathers to the girls, but that there's a real sense of, first and foremost, particularly in 2020, it was about, you know, everyone safe coming into training, everyone safe going home. And then they got the buy-in back from the players. And, you know, I think certainly with Dublin, I know it's not back down to money, but you can compare the investment and the professionalism that the Dublin ladies team get from, and sponsorship, I'm sure that they get from the likes of AIG. It's probably more than what other counties are getting. But much like the men, they're doing the right thing with it. And, you know, coupled with that, the amount of players that they have playing the game, feeding into that system, it certainly would worry you that, for example, like the men, the Dubs don't have that level of competition in Leinster that you could imagine they're going to walk it every year. But from an actual, once you get out of Leinster then, I mean, they beat Donegal by 3 points. Armagh came up against them and they mightn't win at all on Sunday. So I don't think Dublin are going to have the same level of dominance. But yes, I do think Dublin and Cork probably have they're a step above the rest at the moment.
You're going to see an explosion in playing numbers as well in Dublin, as the kind of knock-on impact of having a successful team inspires the next generation, and that generation starts to become mentors to younger kids as well. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops.
Yeah, in fairness, we always see with AIG, I mean, they're very good at when they're promoting, you know, they have their footballer, hurler, camogie, ladies footballer. I think they've done it very well, and success then would breed further success. So I think it is from added investment, but it's from very astute use of that money as well.
Louise, we've obviously been speaking over the last months about the various states of the games and the relationships between the organising bodies. We saw the WGPA and the GPA become one organisation. As usual, it's the players leading and the administrators following. What was your take on all that?
Yeah, I think it's a very positive move. I think players exactly are setting the standard that hopefully the administrator or the governing bodies will follow as well. I have been lucky enough that I've been a member of the Rugby Players Ireland board and one of the first female members, which represents our professional body and now our amateur women's 15s players as well. And I can see firsthand when you have male and female players coming together to that top table, what it can mean. And I think that'll happen as well with the WGP. In the GPA. Look, I think the WGPA, they've done a fantastic job, the Ladies Football Association have done a fantastic job in promoting the game, and we've seen that from grassroots all the way up. But the fact, and they're getting a lot of, abuse might be a strong word of, you know, for example, the Cork Galway debacle about the game being moved and not being televised. I think it's just a case of maybe the performances of the squads and the professionalism of the amateur players is outgrowing maybe the association, and it's nothing against the individuals involved, but like, we need to own our own pitches. That just needs to happen. We can't be relying on handouts from the GA, and whether that comes down to the two associations along with the Camogie Association all joining up, it looks like there's no other real end result other than that that'll lead to some level of equity between playing for your county and whether you're male or female.
Before we go, what's going to happen? Who's going to win?
Dubs are coming in as favourites, but I think if you're looking for an upset this weekend, you're going to see it more in the ladies than the men. So I certainly wouldn't rule out Cork. And again, I think these water breaks coming out of the third quarter, if they're there or thereabouts, I think Cork could actually pull this one off.
All right, Louise, great stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
Thank you.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.